My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Sarah Turner. She's the co-founder of the Mobile Projection Unit. She's here talking about ways of projecting stills and videos in public spaces, how projection mapping works, and the value of guerrilla art and performance. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus by Zoom, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
This is great because you're a video artist and we're talking by Zoom, and it feels kind of sad, really, doesn't it?
Oh, I like it. I was messing with my Snapchat filters earlier. Maybe I'll put it on too.
Okay, for you, this is your lingua franca, but for me... in radio, I'd much rather be in a room with you. But the great thing about Mobile Projection Unit is you have taken a technology of, you know, projecting big images onto buildings and bridges and things outside and made it, you know, it's really come into its own in the pandemic because people can still see art and, you know, not cough all over each other and give each other coronavirus. So that's brilliant. You've kind of been a good 2020 for you.
We cracked the code. Yeah, it's been really fortunate that it just so happened that this type of artwork worked in this situation. Yeah, especially at the beginning of the pandemic in early March, I work in events. And so immediately all of my work for 6 months was canceled.
Oh, wow.
And yeah.
Oh, what do you do in events?
I do event planning, and a lot of my artwork as a working artist is through festivals or kind of pop-up installations. And I also work in the film industry. And so, yeah, in a week, everything was cut, basically.
Wow.
And so, you know, it took maybe a month or two for me to kind of reconfigure what I was going to do with my life. And luckily, we had some collaborators who were interested in working with us doing outdoor screenings. And so from there, we kind of took our project, the Mobile Projection Unit, just started adapting to the times during COVID. Mm-hmm. and doing safe outdoor screenings, both of our own work and collaborators, especially around relevant social issues such as the Black Lives Matter protests this summer.
So just tell us, like, when you kind of reconfigured in the spring, what were some of the first things you went out and projected?
Yeah, so my collaborator and I, Fernando D'Agostino, we were speaking with a couple of our colleagues who were interested in, I guess, hosting these teach-in moments with different documentaries or shorts by Black artists that we could project to Portland. And that's kind of always been a really important aspect of the Mobile Projection Unit from the beginning, is to not use the vehicle as a propaganda machine, but to always kind of situate it within this artistic canon. And so I think one of the first people who reached out to us was Jody Darby to screen the documentary Arresting Power that she created with Julie Creedy and Aaron Yankee. And we screened that under the Burnside Bridge really early on in the Portland protests. And so that was the first time that we kind of experimented with hosting these outdoor screenings to see how they would work both within the dynamic of all of the work that these protests and leaders were doing in the city and how it would kind of like assist in that message. And then how we could do it safely during COVID as well. And luckily, because it is outdoors, there is a lot of room to social distance. And our network and community are just really considerate and reliable in wearing their masks and giving each other space. So it's felt quite safe in these moments that we've been able to pop up and host these screenings.
If the listeners go to sarahturner.com, is that right?
Sarah Turner.com.
Oh, okay. Sarah Turner.com.
There's a lot of Sarah Turners in the world.
The first image, so there's a whole selection of your work and the MPU's work. The first one is the underside of the Burnside Bridge with all the girders. There's the cityscape in the background, and this beautiful rectangular projection right onto the buttress or whatever you call the thing that holds the bridge up. And it's a little girl. She's looking through bars. And just tell us what was that video?
So the mobile projection unit is not only a way for me and my collaborators to express our own art, but it's also a curatorial collaboration project. And so that piece was part of our first curatorial season, and it's called Nacer by Ruben Garcia Marufo. And at that night too, there was a live performance by Huracan. And yeah, that was really nice. That was actually the first time that we had taken the mobile projection unit down under the Burnside Bridge. I believe Ruben found that spot. And since then, it's actually become quite a favorite just because it's such a beautiful destination to project under. It's kind of this natural theater, in a sense, in that it's such a perfect screen and background, and it kind of creates this natural container for people to sit down under. There's some benches down there too. But
And that piece is called Nacer. That means, that's Spanish for being born.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Was it like a, you know, a half hour documentary or a, you know, feature film? What was it?
It was 2 hours, and it was experimental footage that Ruben had taken throughout the, I believe, one or the last year or two before it was presented, and some found footage as well too. I mean, it was very experimental in nature. It was a lot of some shocking imagery and some imagery dealing a lot with borders and walls and kind of looking from the other side. Like, to be born, you're coming from one world into the other. And I think a lot of the imagery that was represented in Nacer too was about this idea of going into other worlds. So that first picture that you see with the little girl behind the window bars is kind of referencing that and talking about border crossing and also this like naivety of like not really knowing what's on the other side too. So
as the summer has gone on, 2020, you've got more involved in Black Lives Matter. There's another image. It says Guerrilla Mobile Projection Unit pop-ups July 2020. And this is projected on the blank side of a building. So one of those windowless walls of a, looks like a three-story building, and the car's parked. Tell us, how do you pick a spot like that? And then how do you work with Black Lives Matter?
Sure, yeah. Well, I think there's a couple different things. I personally, as an artist, I do not use my art to promote myself during Black Lives Matter, but only use the tools that I have to assist the leaders of a particular collective or protest. And so for this, the image that you're talking about was during a snap block sit-in. I think it was right before their block party that they had back in July, I believe. So in that particular instance, that was where their headquarters were at the time. And so I just pulled up and brought my projector and my computer there and just helped amplify their message.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You are listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Sarah Turner, co-founder of the Mobile Projection Unit and the semi-annual art happening called Pink Noise. Sarah, you were just talking about how you pick a wall and, you know, ambient lighting, things like that. Yeah, I've seen you project the underside of a bridge where, you know, there's an angle. So I've seen you project on like apartment buildings where you go over the windows, but some of the imagery stops in a certain place and a different video is next to it. So it's very complicated. Tell us a bit about projection mapping, which is this new thing where the projection sort of adheres to the surface it's aimed at and can also kind of adapt to it.
Projection mapping is very fun. That's I would like to put that out there first and foremost. It's very fun. there are many ways to projection map. I mean, the word projection mapping is basically saying that you are projecting a video or an image that is not necessarily in the 16:9 or 4:3 format. So it's not just a rectangle. And so people can have been doing that and have done that in a way that is analog, in that they will, you know, put paper over the lens of a projector, so only a part of the light and imagery is coming out. So if you can imagine cutting out a circle and putting that over the lens of a projector instead of a square, you'll just see the circle image of what's coming out of there. And so obviously the technology has advanced since then, and now there are many softwares that you can use to do projection mapping. And there's many, many varieties, but the one that I like to use is called MadMapper. And it's very user-friendly, it's very intuitive, and essentially it's a software that allows you to spatialize video in a multitude of ways. And so from your computer, you can manipulate the size of a video, where it is on your screen, how it's interacting with other videos in relation to the projection that you are connected to and that's projecting on the architecture around you. And so in a way, I kind of see it as almost augmented reality, in that you're able to manipulate the space around you, because the imagery can be so drastic and so spectacular and large that it does change your perception of the reality around you, especially when it's on architecture that is like changing form and making you believe that, you know, some other story or narrative is like happening around you too.
So I saw it in the Portland Art Museum when they had their virtual reality show about the Venice Biennial. You had one of the walls in the Criedel Ballroom, which has these alcoves, and you projected, it looked like some kind of dance piece, right? But it was huge, but it didn't go on the alcoves. Somehow you kind of cropped it and it was projecting something else there. How did you do that?
Yeah, so that piece was a collaborative work by myself and my collaborator, Fernanda D'Agostino, and it was called Sheila Luna. And we were tasked with just creating something that felt very immersive. That was a particular event that was all about VR from all over the world. And so Amy Dotson, the director of the film center, tasked us with that, just like what makes something so spectacular that when people take off their VR goggles, they feel like they're still inside some kind of crazy new media universe. And so Nanda and I decided to take over that entire wall, and using some of the footage that we have created in other projects, but fit it specifically to that space. And so the ballroom that you're talking about, to kind of give the listeners some context of the space in there. There's one large wall with multiple columns running from the ceiling to the floor, and these archways, and then these kind of like larger square marble reliefs on the wall. And so we adapted our video to fit within these different forms on the wall to really feel like the video was replacing the architecture inside of the room. And so there's like these huge splashes of color and movement that are moving up and down the columns and going across the wall and filling the archways. And it becomes very dynamic and really makes your eyes move around the room in this different way that can be really interesting and really spectacular. And I think that that's such a perfect canvas, because all of those elements are white, and so they're the perfect background to project on. And so you can really manipulate the feeling or the vibe of the room just by putting different imagery and video in there. And so that particular piece was very witchy. We had a lot of footage from works that we had created with our collaborators who were doing these type of ritualistic movements, and it was kind of a type of digital spell. And so that's what we augmented people's reality with when they took their VR goggles off. So yeah, that was a really fun piece to work on.
It was beautiful. How long did it take from scratch, from the commission to the day it was finally done?
That was a very fast piece. That was a fast commission. Usually something like that would take us at least 2 months, but I think we created that in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
But also this is during COVID, so we had nothing else really going on.
Yeah. Is the bulk of that work the sitting at your laptop, you know, editing video, or is it going standing around with projectors and light?
I would say the bulk of all of this work is in a sense it's pre-production. It's like pre-event production, where we're, you know, filming the content, editing it, processing it, putting like experimental effects on it, and then feeding it into our computer, doing tests before the actual event. But on site, like doing the mapping, typically, I mean, depending on the complications of the space and how much we're like mapping out point by point, I mean, it can range. Sometimes it'll take 2 hours, sometimes it'll take, you know, 12 hours. For that piece, we're there on site 2 whole days, so that probably took like 24 hours in total to map.
Mm-hmm.
And mapping is like, to say that it's kind of like sculpting where the video is going in terms of like the actual shape of the video, but also deciding like which video will go where, because it becomes this multiple channel installation where you need to think about the story that's being told, you know, not just on one square, but along an entire wall. So that's where the work comes in for sure.
So, I mean, this is such a powerful tool, you know, multi-channel video. The history of video art in galleries is usually cathode ray tubes, you know, it's kind of a Bruce Nauman kind of feel. And you, in your this work, you've kind of left that behind. But in your actual own practice, you still make rooms full of cathode ray tubes, right? Oh, showing video.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I love CRT TVs.
And you'll have. So what was the one you did recently? The Hell one.
Yeah, I made an installation called "It's Hell Here," which was in my backyard. And it's kind of cheeky in that I'm talking about it's hell here. I say that pretty often during COVID. So I wanted to create an installation that was a little bit more of a fun hell situation. And so I got a lot of my roommates and my close isolation squad pod to come and dress up like demons and then film them in hell on behind the green mm-hmm. screen, and then created a video of them being demons and falling into hell. And yeah, and so then in the physical form, I made a hell video altar out of CRTs, and then also projected hell on a large screen and made lots of flames that I painted white that I then projection mapped flames onto. So it really does mm-hmm. look like you're in hell when you're in my backyard. And yeah, and so that's kind of a result of COVID as well too, is that, you know, there's not a lot of galleries that are open to display work right now. So I just made my own gallery in my backyard.
Mm-hmm. But was it, did you do it for a party or was it just like an art evening?
It was definitely not a party. I would say that's a strong word, and we're all trying to be very cautious, but I would say it was a roommate hang, and my friends that we've all been precautious about COVID with.
Oh, okay. Not a party with strangers. Definitely. But it was a sort of celebration, right? Yeah. You made the thing to have fun for a day.
Yes, yeah. There is definitely the need to have some relief right now. There's a lot to be worried and stressed out about. So this was definitely a very like funny and kind of like silly way to contextualize the hell that we are living in right now.
So mobile projection unit, you started in 2018 with PICA and RAC grants. And then recently you got a grant from the Portland Art Museum and the Film Center as part of their Reimagine Fund, right? You got $5,000.
Yeah.
What was the idea of that recent grant?
Yeah, so shout out to Northwest Film Center. They are super homies. They're great and love new media artists so much. And they, along with Pam, decided to help fund artists during COVID, which is an actual godsend, just because there has been such a lack of opportunities during this pandemic. And so this particular grant that I got was both to help support me during my lack of finances as a working artist, to help me pay rent, to help me buy food, and to also help support my artistic practice during COVID and these cultural events that are happening. And so, as I said earlier, you know, with the mobile projection unit, it's just been such a unique experience that it's been able to fit within this very strange context of the world ending. And so with the grant money that I am receiving, I am going to buy another projector, more mm-hmm. cords, lots of cords all the time.
What projector do you use?
I, along with Nanda, my collaborator, sometimes we'll use up to 6 projectors on an installation. It depends on the mm-hmm. scale and scope of the project. Sometimes it's just 1 or 2.
Are these regular old Epsons?
I would not say that. I would say that they, you know, they're not like the craziest projectors that you could use for this project, because those are can range up to, you know, $20,000 to $100,000. But mm-hmm. the ones that we use are typically around 6,000 lumens, which are still pretty bright for outdoor screening for a consumer level. But those, I mean, still range from, you know, $1,500 to $5,000. And so it's really, really helpful to get grants like this that kind of have no strings attached and can allow me to buy these technological purchases. And I would like to say that that's like such a huge help, because most of the grant funding available for new media artists does not allow those type of purchases, those type of capital purchases, and only allow for the rental of those things too, which it makes it really hard to progress your career, because, you know, you can only use a projector, you know, for a couple nights if you're renting it.
Yeah.
And so I'm very, very grateful that I was able to get this grant funding in order to not only purchase these materials for myself, but then to also help other artists that we work with in our curation and collaboration, to have them have access to them as well.
Yeah. And you said it can cost like $1,000 a night just to rent a big projector, right?
Easily. Plus labor, and then that's added cost too. Mm-hmm.
And so part of what MPU does is you help people who want to project things, you show them how it's done. So hopefully they'll learn and go and do it themselves one day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also, we don't have very long, but you have your own home studio with a green screen and all that. How has that worked out in 2020? Are you using it more or differently?
Yes, I would say that I use my green screen almost primarily now for the video work that I'm creating. I would say that it's like probably the main way that I create work now, just because it's hard to be outside and be near other people and just taking precautions. But it's actually really fun because it's opened up the possibilities of where my characters can be. You know, they can be in hell, they can be in space. And it just is another layer of like experimentation that is really exciting for my practice to kind of, even, you know, even though we're on like a lockdown, in my mind, I'm expanding everything. Mm-hmm. So
if somebody wants to see any of your other work, you're on Freeform Radio, right? Internet radio?
I no longer have that show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. So I'll cut that bit. You curate a festival called Pink Noise?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When's the next one?
We are still in the planning process of Pink Noise, but it's likely that it will take place New Year's-ish or in the early spring. And we're still figuring out what the format of that will look like. I'm sure there will be some live stream component. And we're also trying to figure out a safe way to have like gallery openings or social distant viewings, possibly outdoor projections of that as well too.
And this show will air on November the 3rd. Got any big plans to project on election night?
We don't. Yeah, the mobile projection unit is not meant to be a propaganda machine in the sense that it would just host the reality or perceived reality of what's happening. I'm going to be inside bunkering down on that night. Do not want to be on the streets on that night. I support anyone that's out there doing the work, but I'm just going to try to regulate my emotions on that day. So we'll see what happens.
All right. My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Sarah Turner. She's the co-founder of the Mobile Projection Unit and the semi-annual art happening called Pink Noise. Thank you so much for doing Art Focus, Sarah.
Thank you. I had such a great time.
Andy Warhol's a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol's silver screen, can't tell them apart at all. We'll be right back.
KDOO Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy martes 1 de diciembre del 2020.